You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government's budget for 2019 was announced yesterday afternoon at 2 p.m. by Minister of Finance Grant Robertson, who delivered the publication. The focus seems to be on vulnerable communities, Kiwis' well-being, among other priorities, with a trajectory towards societal issues such as mental health, addiction and poverty in the budget's financial forecast. While this seems to be good in many ways, it can be said that not everyone will be happy about these economic decisions. Now, for someone with a very low economic understanding, I had the pleasure of speaking with Shalman Beel Yaqub, experienced independent economist and commentator, who made economics very easy for me. Here he is breaking down the budget.
No one budget is going to solve all of our problems, but I think this is a real maturing of the way that we do budgets in New Zealand. So it's taken a more holistic approach in terms of the big issues that we deal with, but not all the issues. So for example, this budget was very focused on vulnerable people, but there wasn't a great deal around climate change. So we're never going to get everything being fit into one budget because there is simply not enough money to deal with everything in one go.
You're very right in saying that this is a budget that looks to, you know, vulnerable people and obviously areas of, you know, New Zealand that maybe haven't been previously addressed in the last budget. This announcement saw us nearly take a $2 billion step for mental health services and addiction. However, how in this announcement, how will it suggest any change to actually happen in those sectors?
Yeah, look, I mean, we've seen a number of big projects announced in this budget around mental health, around welfare reform. The stuff around mental health is really hard because we've essentially been underfunding mental health in New Zealand for decades. This is not a new problem. So whatever increases we see, the actual implementation is going to take time, both in terms of the number of people on the front line, because they are the ones who deliver the services, but also in the systems in terms of the education, the resources that are available, the online tools that are available. All that stuff takes time. So my sort of feel is that when it comes to these big social stuff, particularly on mental health, you're going to have to be quite patient. But the fact that they're spending more money than we have done in a long time is a positive step. Is it enough? Not really, but we haven't done enough for many decades. So, you know, for me, this is very much a story about we're trying to do something on issues that are really quite big, really quite complex, really quite difficult to solve. And the fact that we're at least talking about it and putting real dollars behind it is a very good step.
So why has this been, you know, an area of New Zealand that has been pushed to the wayside? Why has it been such that in previous budget plans, we haven't addressed issues such as mental health and addiction and also other societal problems, you know, such as child poverty, low income? Is there a reason why this reflects previous budget plans and why we haven't addressed them?
Well, I think pretty much the big shift in politics in New Zealand was in early 90s. When we had the mother of all budgets from Ruth Richardson. And we have never really recovered from that, despite the many changes of government. So this is not about any one government or any one political party's leadership. This is a more substantial problem. These issues have been building for a long time. I always give the example of state housing in New Zealand. So the peak in state housing in New Zealand was 1991. And since then, through successive governments, we have been essentially running that stock down. And this is true of many other parts of essentially the welfare state and things like mental health. And part of that is because it's political. You know, there are not many votes in spending money on this stuff. There is a lot more money in things like infrastructure, tax cuts. All those things get many more votes. And that's been the priority. So this is long overdue. And I think the pressures are really starting to show now, whether it's around poverty or homelessness. You can't ignore it anymore.
That's right.
And across the political spectrum, it feels to me like it's become enough of an issue that doesn't matter who's in charge, they're going to do something about it.
There is once again within this budget plan a large focus on aspiration for Māori and Pacifica in New Zealand. This is once again an issue that the government has been focused on, or, you know, and trying to alleviate for, you know, a very long time. It's something that is deep within New Zealand's structure. But is this budget plan, is it once again an issue of the government focusing on compensation for Māori rather than restoration?
Well, they're slightly two different things. I mean, I think there's around the treaty settlement process, which is, I think, where the restoration takes place. Mm-hmm. But they're kind of that systematic racism that exists, whether it's around the prison population or poverty or lower education outcomes, that stuff is going to be much harder. And while there was a bit more money in this budget for Maori and Pacifica, the reality is they were pretty small compared to a lot of the other initiatives. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to be able to overcome many of the challenges that exist for Maori and Pacifica with the amount of services and dollars that were committed. Having said that, mm-hmm. the increase in funding for Whanaora in particular is really encouraging, because that is a program that's working really well, and I'm really encouraged to see that they have funded it to a greater extent, because essentially that kind of program is about outcomes rather than about way we do things. And I like that, because what we want to see is results. I'm sick of us talking about how many dollars we're going to spend. What I want to see is better outcomes for Maori and Pacifica, because it's been too long.
That's right. There is also a focus and reduction on reoffending in these communities. However, the budget is placing importance a lot on the adequate training and police for public disorderlies and against protesting, how to deal with these. Is this once again something that we're actually doing right for Māori aspirations?
Well, you know, the kind of the systemic problems of mm-hmm. colonization are not going to be uprooted and, I guess, taken out of a system through a budget, right?
That's right.
This is a much more systemic change. So budgets can't do everything, and I don't think we should be looking for the budget to do that. Mm-hmm. I think what we can look for the budget is resources being supplied, so then we can target the right kinds of things. So it feels to me like at least we're talking about the right thing. The resourcing to me feels right. But, you know, there is still a lot of fundamental work that needs to happen right through a judicial system, a welfare system, and essentially the racism that exists in New Zealand to deal with it.
Moving away from this topic now, and I want to look at the other areas of the budget. There was a lot of focus placed on venture capital and, startups and vocational education. This has been criticised by National. They say that the budget is not doing enough for small businesses in New Zealand. However, how do you see this actually being announced in the budget? Do you think we're making a step right for venture capitalism in New Zealand?
Yeah, look, I mean, there wasn't much for the economy in this particular budget. It was very focused on that vulnerable folk in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And what we saw for the economy was very much around that increase in funding of $300 million for venture capital and commercialization. In the context of things, they're pretty small, but encouraging to see, because we know that that is definitely a gap. But having said that, you know, do other governments' previous budgets, have they really done much for SMEs? The answer is no. You know, everybody talks a big game when it comes to the economy, but unless you're giving corporate tax cuts or streamlining regulation, which is not about the budget, but it's outside of the budget, there is not a lot that government can do through budgets.
It's interesting. Another area that we should address, and which you mentioned at the very start, was also our sustainability as a nation in terms of addressing this, you know, climate emergency, really what it is now. You were saying that this budget has probably not done enough to adhere to the state of climate emergency. What would you say should have been included within the budget? What was missing out in terms of our environment?
Well, okay, so let's put it this way. There's a few things happening on the climate change policy, right? One is a zero carbon budget, so that's kind of underway. So right now there isn't a lot that we can spend money on, right? And so essentially the increase in the environment portfolio was around $200 million, which is not very much. We had the Green Venture Fund that was announced in the last budget, so that's still to come. So it all feels like there is stuff that we will need to spend in the future, but there was no immediate identified policies that need money, right? And I think that's kind of the reason why we didn't see much around the climate change stuff. It doesn't mean that the urgency has gone away. Essentially, what I would have expected to see is essentially creating more of a contingency fund around climate adaptation and compensation for industries that are going to be industries and regions that are going to be hit hard by the changes, and in particular the adoption of the zero carbon target. So these are big changes of policy. And from a climate change perspective, I think the Zero Carbon Act is really the big thing. Mm-hmm. The budget is very much around where do we have the right funding to implement it. Right now, there are no identified policies that require money. So I wasn't that surprised that the money wasn't there. But at the same time, I thought there would be a bit more urgency for us to get ahead and start exploring some more stuff around the science part in particular.
It's funny that you mentioned once again this, not spending more money, because once again this budget has been in surplus. It's been in surplus for the past 2 years. Economically, why is this current government continuing to keep safe distance in our economy?
The big thing for them was they made a political promise in the election campaign that they would run surpluses and not borrow too much, which is what they're doing in the budget. So ultimately, the budget is a very political thing. It is not an economic thing. Even a lot of people want it to be. The reality is that it's a deeply political decision in terms of how do you manage the headroom that you have. So in each budget, you have about $3 billion, $2 to $3 billion that you can spend on stuff. So there is not a lot of flexibility for any government to do things. And really, it's about saying, how much more can you do? And given the political constraints, I'm not surprised. Would I like the government to be more ambitious? The answer is absolutely yes, because I see a big list of things that New Zealand could easily do that's good for us, right? Where the benefits far outweigh the cost. I think it's heading in the right direction. The focus on vulnerable folk, filling in some of the gaps that have accumulated over many decades is good. Does it fill all the gaps? Absolutely not. No budget can.
And I'll put my hand up. We didn't get this entirely right in government, okay? So I get all of that.
BFM. Thank you once again very much to Shalambeel Yaqub. As you may have heard, there were his toddlers in the background having a good old time talking to me on BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.